The most difficult thing is not to concentrate on the question, but only on the inner image and what you personally associate with it. You need discipline to concentrate on the essentials. Psychometry as perception training. Psychometry is the term used to describe the energy of objects. Everything has an energy field, and this is exactly what can be perceived through sensory impressions. Psychometric exercises are one of the greatest. Sensitizing the body. The body is an important tool for making perceptions tangible. That's why you should improve and refine your own body awareness through exercises. Exercise 1, Color Card Test. Take at least 4 different color cards that you cut out of colored cardboard. Then take 2 of them first and hold them to your upper body one after the other. Give the color some time to unfold its effect on the body. If, for example, the red card makes your heart palpitations or you feel warm, remember that. Then hold the other color card to your upper body and wait to see what it triggers in your body. Then take both cards, close your eyes and shuffle them so that you don't know which card is in which hand. Then hold one of them to your upper body, but keep your eyes closed. Based on the physical feeling that arises, you should be able to recognize which color is on your upper body. After shuffling, you can also place the 2 cards on the palm of your hand with your eyes closed and see which color feels lighter and which heavier. There are many ways to practice with the color cards. Take different colors, put them on your knees, stand or sit on them to realize that each color has a different effect on the body, and you can feel it. Some people feel more in their hands and others when they stand on them, for example. Just try it out, because everyone is different. Personal notes. Exercise 2, the body as a decision-making aid. Another way to sensitize the body is to do note exercises. For example, if you have a decision to make and are torn, write each of your alternatives on a small piece of paper. Turn the pieces of paper over so that the writing is illegible and mix them up. Then put them on the floor and stand on the different pieces of paper one after the other. Wait a moment and see what feeling comes over you. Give each position a keyword and decide based on how you feel which piece of paper you felt most comfortable with. Only then turn the pieces of paper over and see what your body has answered. The results are always astonishing and show the true and unconscious attitude towards the issue that concerns you. Whether you then really decide on the matter in this way is of course your own responsibility. But it is worth thinking about the result at least once. Personal notes. Exercise 3, Seeing the Aura. This exercise is useful for training your own ability to concentrate, and it is also interesting how easy it is to be able to see a person's aura with your own eyes. You can of course do this exercise with friends at home, but you can also do it in church, at lectures or with plants and animals. Whenever a person or animal stays in one place for a longer period of time, this technique can be practiced wonderfully. In order to be able to see the aura with your eyes, it is important that you do not focus on the object whose aura you want to see. Instead, look for a point that. This is an area for media training. There are many books with exercises on this topic. Therefore, it is not necessary to expand on this area unnecessarily. Exercise 1, History of an Object. Take a personal object belonging to a friend and hold it between your palms. Then concentrate on the question, how did this object come to its owner? Then wait and see what happens. Either you suddenly have a feeling about it or you get an image in your mind's eye. How does it feel? Like a gift, a sensible purchase, a gift to yourself. Describe your perception to the other person and then ask them to tell you the actual story behind the object. Try it with objects belonging to several people. You will see that the results become more and more concrete. It is really interesting what you can sense. Personal notes. Exercise 2, Postcard Motifs. Take 3 postcards with different motifs and put them in an envelope so that you do not know which postcard is in which envelope. Then shuffle the envelopes. Choose one and hold it between your palms. What feelings or images come to mind? Write down a few keywords and only reveal the secret once you have felt all the envelopes. Then compare your notes with the images on the postcard. Such exercises are for personal training and checking, but on the other hand you learn a lot about how your perception works. Personal notes. The ego as a stumbling block. The ego, also known as the mind, switches on again and again when you are in the process of perceiving something. This is not malicious intent, but simply the result of years of training. If you perceive something and are not concentrating well enough, the mind simply fills in the missing points using experience. The easiest way to understand this is with the following example: you see an incomplete picture. The mind will now immediately complete and finish the picture. It will probably become a house. But many other pictures could now be made from it. Here are a few variations. Mountains. A diamond. A face with a pointed cap. Try to mention the words football and chainsaw mentioned above anyway. If you have memorized them well beforehand, you will even incorporate these words without perhaps noticing it. The stories that sometimes emerge are sometimes stage-worthy. Those who speak a lot in front of other people for professional reasons usually have more difficulty with inspired speech than others. Don't give up at the first failure, but keep going. It's worth it. A few helpful opening sentences for inspired speech. When I came back from shopping the other day. When I got married for the first time. When I was still small. A friend recently told me. Personal notes. Exercise 2. Inspired painting. Inspired painting is like all inspirational actions. You need a starting point and then you can start. When painting, a good starting point would be choosing a color. Get your painting utensils ready and choose a color. Now start to fill the picture with this color and wait for the next impulse. Maybe you feel like you want to use a different color now. Don't think, oh dear, what will that look like afterwards, but just do this experiment. What happens when you paint without having any idea of what it will turn out to be? You can also be very daring and close your eyes. Let the result surprise you and don't make the mistake of judging it afterwards. Personal notes. All other forms of inspiration work in the same way. The hardest thing is to give up control. But what do you have to lose? So all you have to do is find a way in and off you go. Angels and spiritual helpers. You can learn to sense angels and spiritual helpers with almost all of the previous exercises. Nevertheless, there are a few that should be mentioned specifically because they can ensure a good connection to the heavenly companions. Exercise 1, physical signal. Sit comfortably and close your eyes. Make sure that you are not disturbed. Ask your spiritual helper or angel to come very close to your aura. Your body will express this approach through a feeling. Simply notice what changes emotionally as soon as the helper or angel has come into your aura. All kinds of reactions can occur. From tingling in the head to pounding heart, a feeling of your hand being stroked to goosebumps, anything is possible. If it takes too long, repeat this exercise, because the body usually reacts very quickly to the energy field of the helper or angel, and waiting too long just leaves unnecessary time for guesswork. Your physical reaction should always be the same when you come into contact with him or her. If for some reason you feel fear or discomfort, then it is not your spiritual support that you are feeling, because that is never unpleasant. In that case, it is better to stop the exercise and repeat it another time. Personal notes. With this physical signal, you can now develop a yes, no communication between you and your spiritual helper. Agree that he or she will activate the physical signal if the answer to your question is yes. If the answer is no, nothing happens. But make sure that you ask him or her a clear yes or a clear no question. The question must not be, should I do this or not? Because then you will be confused. With this simple method, you can start to stabilize the emotional connection with your spiritual companion. Because every relationship needs to be nurtured and can only grow if you take time for each other. Exercise 2. I am your helper. In this two-person exercise, you ask your counterpart to slip into the role of your spiritual helper or angel. After the partner has imagined that this energy field has been put over them like a second skin, all they need to do is describe how they feel and what characteristics they perceive in themselves. The partner can now describe the characteristics and strengths of the helper or angel to you by simply expressing his or her own feelings. You can also ask questions and, amazingly, the partner will be able to answer them. It is not uncommon for physically small people to suddenly feel huge during this exercise. End this exercise by removing the second skin from your partner. Thank each other for this experience. Personal notes. Exercise 3, Feeling Angel Energy. Write the name of an archangel of your choice on a piece of paper and hold it against your upper body. Let a star. And these are just a few examples of how limited one's mind can be. The same phenomenon occurs in interpersonal relationships. You see a person and very quickly draw conclusions from previous experiences with similar people. You no longer perceive, but rather assume. Unfortunately, assumptions don't get you very far in media work, because then the contact is more like a cheerful guessing game. There are exercises that can clearly show this difference. Exercise, assume or perceive. Ask a friend to sit opposite you. Now assume how he is feeling at the moment, based on what you know about him. The other person doesn't comment on this, and in the second step of the exercise you take him by the hand, close your eyes and feel what feeling you are experiencing. Then describe this emotional state to your partner and you will see that you are more correct with the second variant. The most difficult thing about all these emotional exercises is not the perception, but how you put these feelings into words correctly so that what you actually felt is expressed. But there is only one thing that helps here. Don't despair, but practice, practice, practice. Personal notes. Inspiration. One area in which exercises are always a lot of fun is inspiration. You give up control over what you are practicing and let it happen. Many people know this from the so-called inspired dance. There is no specific choreography, but you simply let the music or the sounds inspire you to move. There are many other forms of inspiration, such as inspired speaking, inspired writing, inspired painting, inspired singing. The purpose of such exercises is to reduce the need for control, so that, for example, when in contact with the deceased, you don't have to think about what someone might mean, but pass on what they say unfiltered. Here are two example exercises. Exercise 1, Inspired Speaking. This exercise can be done alone or in a group. However, it is much more fun in a group or with children than alone. Stand in front of the group and ask them to say two words that seem to have nothing to do with each other, such as football and chainsaw. Then start immediately with an introductory sentence like, "Yesterday I went through the forest and..." Let the words flow and simply let this energy work on you and mentally formulate a sentence like, "That feels like..." This way you know which area this angel is addressing in you. But one thing should be said, angel energies are not always beautiful, but they are healing every time they work. It is possible that old pain will come up. Then it is important that you do not stop the exercise, but give the angel the chance to successfully finish its work with you. Stay in this connection until you feel better again and maybe even have cried it all out. Healing has many faces. This should be taken into account when working with angels and their energy. Boundary exercises. Here you will find some exercises that will help you develop a healthy boundary. A boundary is essential for working with the spiritual world, because it provides a vessel for all perceptions. Exercise 1, Felt Yes, No. This exercise is important to learn what a felt yes and a felt no are. Because only a yes or no that is felt is authentic and is taken seriously and registered by others, including the deceased. You can do this exercise with a partner or alone in front of the mirror. Stand in front of each other and agree who starts. Then the first of you begins to say different variations and accentuations of yes. Try out the different ways you can say yes. Which is the yes you use most often, which is the one you least like, etc. Your partner just listens and gives you brief feedback on the various statements. How did this or that yes affect them? Annoyed, authentic, questioning. In this way, you get feedback that you will not get in everyday life. Then try to say a yes that you can feel with your whole body. It is helpful if you imagine a situation from your life that you can answer with an unconditional yes. Close your eyes briefly and remember the situation and the feelings associated with it. When you feel it properly, open your eyes and say yes with the energy you feel. Your partner will then give you feedback on whether the last yes had a different effect on him than the previous ones. Now do the same thing again with the word no. First, all possible variations of the emphasis on this word and finally a felt no. Here, too, it is advisable to imagine a situation that you can clearly answer with no. When each of you has completed both runs, exchange ideas about what was easier for you, the yes, the no, both or perhaps neither. Personal notes. It is important that you feel what you are saying. Because that is the only way you will really be taken seriously. And if your no was not accepted as a child, then it is all the more important to strengthen and practice it now. If you do not have a partner to practice with, then you can of course do this process alone in front of the mirror. You can also experience what a deep yes and an authentic no feel like on your own. However, it is more fun and more sustainable with a friend. You can just as easily find out from your dog or child whether your no has a different effect on others after the exercise. If your dog or child did not really notice your no before, it is quite possible that this will change after repeated practice. This example may make it clearer to you what this exercise is for, but it also means that in future you should ask yourself whether you want something or not before you answer or give orders. Pay attention to whether you stand behind your answer or not. Because if you say yes or no just because you think you have to do it now, then everyone will notice that it is half-hearted. Exercise 2. Your emotional limit. This exercise helps you to get a feel for your emotional limit. Only when you feel your limits can you draw attention to them more sense when you are crossing other people's limits. To know when something is going too far for you, you need to know where your limit is and how it feels. For this exercise you need a rope that is about 5 meters long. Lay the rope out on the floor in a circle and stand in the closed circle, variant 1. Close your eyes and describe in your mind how you feel there. Are you calm and at peace with yourself or do you feel excluded and isolated? Is the whole circle too big or even too small for you? Is it a familiar feeling to have a stable, healthy boundary around you or is it a completely new feeling? Now open both rope ends, variant 2, and place them far apart so that the circle is visibly open. Stand in it again and notice the difference to variant 1. Do you feel comfortable or rather unprotected and at the mercy of others? Try to describe this state. How do the two variants differ? Now stand next to your circle, variant 3. How does that feel and is there a difference in feeling compared to the previous exercises? Which variant is most familiar to you? What do you feel most comfortable with? Make a brief note of these results, because then you can concentrate fully on the solution. Personal notes. In this exercise, the rope is the symbol for your invisible but tangible boundary. It sounds the alarm when a person, animal or deceased person tramples around in your spiritual front yard, for example with palpitations, butterflies in your stomach, pressure in your head, etc. The prerequisite for these signals, however, is that a boundary exists at all and the circle should be closed. This does not mean that you are a closed person, but you perceive what passes through this permeable boundary and decide whether you want to let it in or leave it out. If you feel comfortable with option 1, then you can usually say no and perceive your own needs. You still sense other beings well, but do not take on false responsibility for others. If you feel comfortable with option 2, then you are most likely doing quite well as long as you are alone. But in contact with others, you very quickly forget your own needs and make the needs of others your own. This is exhausting in the long run and leads to difficulties, as it can be quite absorbing. Or you allow yourself to be absorbed quickly. It would be important to close the boundary. If you favor option 3, then you are most likely afraid of arguments and have a tendency to flee. If a matter becomes difficult, you distance yourself emotionally from yourself and your point of view. In this case, represent your point of view more consciously or decisively, and simply endure conflicts or tensions. Exercise 3, partner exercise, saying no. This partner exercise follows on from exercise 1. It strengthens your ability to say no and helps to anchor and consolidate this new belief again. Lay your rope on the floor in a circle. Open it at the front and your partner now marches through the opening of the circle into your mental front yard. Try to say no, stop him from doing it or push him out of the circle. Is that possible or are you completely unable to act? Then close the circle again and ask your partner to march over your boundary again. Is it easier or harder for him now? Say no again and push the person in front of your boundary. What does that trigger in you? Feelings of guilt, freedom, strength? Is it easy or difficult for you to push the person in front of your circle? This is really a good opportunity to practice saying no. Then swap roles. Personal notes. Death as a natural part of life. Unfortunately, death and dying are still topics that people don't like to talk about. There are many question marks and errors, and that doesn't exactly help people to deal with the farewell to earthly life more confidently. There is still a lot of uncertainty. It is important to create understanding so that people can overcome and let go of the fear of this natural part of life. Grief is an important part of life. Sadness is one of many feelings that are part of human existence. If you watch how children deal with feelings, you quickly see the difference to most adults. Every emotion is part of a child's everyday life and immediately takes on visible features as soon as the feeling arises in the child. Once it has been sufficiently expressed, the child can then turn to something else and concentrate fully on it. Children do not differentiate between feelings. For them, there are no good or bad emotions, just what they are feeling at the time. However, this always assumes that the parents do not suppress this natural process through their behavior towards the child. The great advantage of this spontaneous way of life is that nothing can build up and children are therefore always free to do what they are doing. They can therefore concentrate and get involved in it accordingly. All feelings are states that make people alive and should serve as a compass for life. But this assumes that you do not suppress certain feelings because they could be unpleasant. The most painful thing of grief is when you suppress and repress it. Because then it looks for another way to express itself. This is usually much more unpleasant than it would be if you had faced this feeling directly when it arose. In order to be able to perceive life in all its facets and to make full use of it, we need feelings. After all, there is an important potential behind every feeling. However, if you suppress a certain emotion because it is unpleasant, then the corresponding potential is not available to you in a helpful way. All of this potential wants to find expression. If you do not allow this, like children do, in a direct and constructive way, then these repressed issues look for another way to enter consciousness. This can be in the form of physical or mental illnesses. For example, the personal environment can express it through its behavior, or unpleasant emotional states become entrenched and become a daily reality. Grief is one of the feelings that we try to avoid as an adult. We do not want to appear weak and would prefer not to be asked about it. Why is that actually the case? It would be much easier to express your feelings and the chance that you would then be comforted would be very high. But that is exactly where the next problem lies. Many people no longer know the simplest way of providing help, namely comforting someone, giving them a hug and holding them for a while until they feel better. It doesn't matter whether you know the person or not. On the one hand, it is the shyness to approach someone and offer them this help unobtrusively. It can of course happen that the other person declines with thanks and you are confronted with the feeling of rejection. On the other hand, many people shy away from accepting the help that is offered or even asking for it. Most people have learned to fight their way through on their own. Unfortunately, the structure of a true community is no longer often found. Yet it is precisely this social network that could catch people. If you had the courage to express your own grief or sadness in the moment you feel it, it would not be able to control you so much. You would then be able to concentrate on yourself and your own life again. Grief does not have to be a permanent state, but rather a feeling that is felt in phases, sometimes more, sometimes less. Then there would even be room for joy. Joy and grief can exist side by side, just like anger and balance. The problem that many people are not aware of is this: the things and feelings that you try to avoid vehemently, you attract all the more. This means that despite all avoidance strategies, people will encounter all kinds of feelings anyway, because it is simply part of being human and of your own development. Without the feeling of grief, people would not appreciate what they have. Everything would be taken for granted, and there would be no gratitude. Conversely, allowing grief increases the ability to feel joy. A person who can feel sadness and accepts it as a part of life is able to feel joy and peace much more intensely than those who try to avoid it. True joy in life can only fully develop if one accepts and acknowledges sadness as a part of life. Feelings should not be divided into good and bad, but viewed and accepted as a whole. Then even seemingly unpleasant feelings lose their terror. The fear of death. Actually, the fear of death is more the fear of dying. Death and dying are viewed as one, which is wrong and does not allow one to overcome this fear. Death and dying are two different things that take place on different levels. Dying is the physical process that takes place until the body and soul have separated from each other. This is usually also the moment when the heart stops beating. Death is spoken of as soon as the soul is separated from the body and is in the spiritual plane. Death is therefore the existence of the soul after the physical dying process. If you explain it that way, most people are not afraid of death at all, but rather of the seemingly uncertain process of dying. Thoughts like, "Will I be in pain? Will I be filled with fear?" appear as soon as you confront it. Experience shows time and again that those who are at peace with themselves and have accepted death as a part of life do not have to suffer a terrible dying process. D. The reason for this is very simple. These people do not resist this natural part of our existence and therefore do not experience great pain, even though they may even be very ill. Every inner form of resistance to something natural causes suffering or pain. This is already apparent in life and not only in the process of dying. This means that people can influence the quality of their death while they are still alive. If you make sure that you are at peace with the most important things and at least consider it possible that the soul will continue after physical death, then you do not need to be afraid of dying. On the other hand, if you feel guilty about something or if there are important, unfinished things, then dying is more difficult. However, there are also people who are afraid of death, or rather, afraid of what awaits their soul when the physical dying process is complete. This depends on the type of faith to which these people belong. Religious communities and cultures each create very different images of the soul's existence after physical death. There are those who take away the fear and actually portray death as a natural part of existence, and there are others who paint a very gloomy and uncertain picture. Ultimately, everyone has to find what makes sense for themselves. But when thinking about death and dying, one should not forget to look at nature and include it. It is the habitat in which one was created, and thus one is part of it. Why should the soul follow different principles than the habitat that surrounds us? The dying process and good support. In order to explain what meaningful support for the dying looks like, something must first be explained about the dying process and the corresponding dying phases. When exactly the dying process begins for a person varies greatly. This development can take several years, but sometimes it can also take place within hours or days. This depends on the state of consciousness of the person who is dying. There are people who have already made the most important learning processes in life and have repeatedly reflected on them self-critically.